We're going to dig into our message this morning. There's the man, and he drives to work at 6:30 in the morning, as he has done every day for 8 years. He punches in his time card, and he's soon confronted by his supervisor, and John is berated. He's humiliated, as he has been over these years, for little minor things. But this time he's had enough. And so he quits, and he leaves. Storms. There's a strong thunderstorm, and it sweeps through this town, this area, and it destroys a farmer's crops and all of his barns. And he's already deep in debt. Storms. There's a widow, and she faces an empty house and an empty bed for the first time in 40 years. Storms. There are parents, and they're sitting on the couch. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Their 16-year-old son, he has not come home yet. They're afraid that he has been out drinking. And as they sit there waiting, dad pops open another beer. Storms. We all face storms. Some of them are physical, things like tornadoes or floods, hurricanes, typhoons. Some of them are personal, things like death, job problems, relationships that have turned bad. Some are financial. Storms are a part of life. The right question is not whether they will come or when they will come. The question is, how will you respond to them? So today, as we continue working our way through Acts, you know, life in the Spirit, we're going to finish up chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 13 through 44. I want us to talk about four strong anchors for life's stormy seas. Paul is facing a life-threatening storm. He is on his way to Rome to see Caesar so that he can stand trial. For 14 days, the ship is in the midst of this raging, stormy sea. But Paul, he never panicked. As the crew was panicking around him, Paul stood firm, and he shared the anchors that hold his life secure. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture, Acts 27, starting at verse 13. It's a long one today. If you have to sit somewhere between there, you're more than welcome to, but our scripture reads like this. It says, "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard, then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and he said, 'Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have been spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight, the sailors sensed that we were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found that it was only 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rock, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the sailors cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them to all eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchor, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move. And the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Thank you. May all be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Whew, even just that is quite a long part there. These sailors that we're talking about here, they're caught in a storm that seems so overwhelming. And in an effort to save their own lives and the ship, they cast four anchors into the sea. But sadly, those anchors proved to be ineffective against the storm, and the ship was ultimately lost. However, on board this ship was a special man, a man named Paul. And he's special for several reasons. One, he was a child of God. Two, he was a man who was on a mission. Three, he was a man of faith. And finally, fourth, he was in fellowship with God. You see, because of who he was, Paul was anchored in the midst of this storm, even though the ship was not. The sailors, they throw four anchors in an attempt to try to steady the ship and to keep it firm. Those anchors failed. And as I was reading through this, I realized that Paul had four anchors as well. Those anchors steadied him in the midst of this storm. And even though the ship was shaken and battered, Paul was able to make it because he had these strong anchors. The New Living Testament in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "This confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain of heaven into God's inner sanctuary." The New Century Version puts the same verse, Hebrews 6, 19, this way. It says, "We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, sure and strong." Do you realize that the same anchors that kept Paul steady in that storm over 2,000 years ago are available to each one of us? They're available to you and me even today. The first anchor that Paul had was the strong anchor of God's presence. Verse 23, Paul is speaking to the men. He says, "Last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me." Paul found that even in the midst of this raging sea and the storm, he was not alone. The Lord came to him and ministered peace to his heart. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Matthew 28:20 says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Psalms 23:4, many of you may be familiar with this. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Wouldn't it be a blessing if we could enjoy the manifest presence of the Lord just like Paul did? But do you know that there are times, even when you cannot see him, even when there are times where you cannot feel him, God is still there. He's watching over you. He's leading. He's protecting. He is being God. Tony Campolo, he tells a story of when he was growing up as a boy, and it was in a congested, bustling city. His mother had arranged for a teenage girl who lived just a couple doors down to walk him home from school at the end of every day. For this, she was paid a nickel a day. But in the second grade, Tony rebelled. He told his mother, "I want to walk myself home from school, and if you give me a nickel a week, I'll be extra careful. You can keep the other 20 cents, and we'll be better off." And after a period of pleading and begging, of negotiating, little Tony, he finally got his way. And so for the next 2 years, he walked himself back and forth to school. It was an 8-block walk, and he had to cross many streets. But Tony, he was careful. He didn't talk to strangers. He didn't get distracted along the way. And years later, he was at a family party, and he was bragging about how he was independent as a little boy. And he was reminding his family how he had taken care of himself by walking himself to school and walking himself home. And his mother just kind of chuckled a little bit. And then she told the rest of the story. "Do you really think you were alone?" she said. "Every morning when you left for school, I left with you. I walked behind you all the way there. And at 3:30 when you got out of school, I was there. I walked behind you. I kept myself hidden so you did not see me. But I was there. I followed you all the way home because I just wanted to be there in case you needed me." You see, in verse 25, Paul says, "I have faith in God." Paul knew that God was with him and that everything was going to be all right. That same anchor that Paul had can be yours in a vital relationship with Jesus Christ when you're walking with Jesus. But not only did Paul have the anchor of God's promise, he also had the anchor. I'm sorry, not only did he have the anchor of God's presence, but he had the anchor of God's promise. In verses 24 and 25 of our scripture, Paul is relating to the men about the angel who appeared to him, and he said, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." So Paul says, "Keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." As Paul was weathering this terrible storm, the Lord came to him with the precious promise. He reminded Paul that he would have to go and stand trial before Caesar, something that had been promised to Paul years before. But also added that all of those who were on the ship with him were going to be spared as well. For Paul, just having a word from God was enough to anchor him, to give him this blessed assurance. And why is that? Because Paul knew that God was a promise-keeping God. Paul knew that God would keep his promise no matter what. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, what he promises, he is able to perform. Did you know that the Word of God, the Bible, it is full of promises? There are 7,847 promises from God to man. The books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, each one of those books contained over 1,000 promises. If you go to Psalms 37, practically every single verse is a wonderful promise to God, from God. Promises. Promises from God's Word. They can make a very strong anchor for us when we are in life's stormy sea. But not only did Paul have the presence and the promise, he also had the strong anchor of the plan of God. Verse 24 says, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar." Again, the Lord came and he ministered to Paul, told him what God's plan was for him, reminded him that he was going to have to go and stand trial before Caesar, but also that everybody on board is going to be spared. Verse 42 says, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners and prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. See, the soldiers knew that it was the prisoners' lives or their lives. If the prisoners got away, the soldiers were dead. But you see, God had a different plan. God's plan was for everyone to live. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for hope and for a future." Paul had a purpose. Even though he is in the midst of the storm of his life, he knew that he was living for Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner. He's in shackles. And yet he had a purpose. His purpose was to share the good news, was to share the gospel with everyone that he could, but more specifically in this way, to share the gospel with Caesar. He's on his way to Rome to share the gospel. Do you know that God has a plan for each and every one of us? We are called to share the gospel with everyone that we can. Do you share the gospel? Are you, through your life, through your words, are you sharing the gospel with other people? God, the anchor of God's plan includes his protection and prosperity. How many of us need God's protection? I know I do. I want to know for sure that he's got my back. Anybody need prosperity? And all I'm talking about here is God's blessing your life, knowing that God is with you and leading you and guiding you. But along with the presence and the promise and the plan of God, Paul also had God's power. The final verse of our scripture, it ends with, "In this way, everyone reached land safely." Only the power of God is strong enough to be your anchor in the midst of the storm. No one else, nothing else is strong enough. If I am caught in the midst of a storm, I want to be anchored in the strong power of God. The one who can calm the winds and the waves. See, God, he is able to work it all out. He can get you through the storms. He can make sure that you land safely beyond it. It may look like the boat is going to sink. It may look like the storm is going to prevail, that you're going to be taken under. But when all the waves have settled down, when the winds have ceased their blowing, when the rains have all stopped, and when all of those storm clouds have moved off from the horizon, you will see that God was in control all along. And I can promise you this, there is no storm in this life that will be able to blow you off course if you're holding on to the strong anchor of God's power. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you." Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us." You see, if God has the power to cause an axe head to float, if he can cause a donkey to speak, if God has the power to split the Red Sea and the Jordan River, if God can raise the dead, and if God can tell the thunder and the lightning to cease and the winds and the waves to be still, then he has the power to keep me safe in any storm. He has the power to keep you safe through any storm that you're facing. But sometimes those storms come and we want to ask why. Why? Sometimes we get an answer, but most of the times we don't. See, there was a son of a wealthy and godly man, and he was having a party. And he and his ten brothers and sisters, they were all there at this party in the house, and there was this vicious wind, a violent storm that blew up suddenly. The house collapsed. And all 10 of the children were killed. And Job cried out, "Why?" See, Job was an instrument that God used to demonstrate to Satan that there are godly and righteous men. Jonah, he's running as fast and as far as he can away from God. And a storm breaks out into his life, and he's thrown overboard. He's swallowed by a giant fish. All of that to bring him back into line with God's plan and God's purpose for his life. The disciples, they're caught in the midst of a stormy sea, a Sea of Galilee, and they're fearful for their lives, thinking they're going to drown. And Jesus, he calmed the sea with his words. But why the storm? It's so that they would learn to trust him. See, for some of us, there's a storm brewing. There are contrary winds that are blowing in our lives. Maybe right now you are already in the midst of a storm and you're fearing you're going to go under. You're just not sure what to do, how to keep going. The question is, are your anchors holding? Do you have the anchor, the strong anchor of God's presence, of his promise, of his plan, and of his power? Are your anchors holding?